The most important part about pickleball is getting to the kitchen. So if you miss a serve or if you miss a return, it's not the biggest deal because both of those shots are necessary components as it relates to getting to the kitchen or preventing your opponent from getting to the kitchen. The return is, how hard are you going to make it for your opponent to get to the kitchen? And then the serve is how easy you're going to make it on yourself to get to the kitchen, because if you crush the serve, you can guarantee that you get a pretty weak return back, and then you're going to be able to get to the kitchen pretty easily on your third. Hey guys, James Ignatowicz here. Just wanted to talk about the Selkirk Era Power. I've been using it every day. It's got the most power of any paddle that I've ever used with Selkirk, but the best part about it is the dwell time. I feel like the control is just spectacular on the paddle. It can reset really well, but once you get up to the kitchen, pretty scary to speed up at me because I've got that power. It's got so much pop off the face, and one of the best paddles I've ever used. Definitely check it out. All right, guys, thank you for tuning in to another one of my episodes. We're just going to get right into it. We're going to talk about the philosophy of the return of serve, because that's changed a lot. Back when I got started playing, I've probably been playing for longer than most of the people that have been watching. I'm a veteran of the pickleball game at this point. And when I came in, I was told to just make the return, maybe try to hit it deep, but more or less just don't miss the return. And there wasn't too much discussion on which area of the court you should hit the return to. You should probably listen to this too. It's pretty good advice. But it wasn't really just about, where I should hit the return to, how hard you should hit the return, mixing up the pace or the spin of the return. It was just make the return. And now when you watch the pros, especially more recently, you've seen players missing more returns. People are never missing returns wide, but they are missing returns long every now and again. And a reason for that is, if you can hit a deeper return, you're forcing your opponent to hit a drive on the third shot. Because all players these days are taught, and at least they should be taught, that if somebody hits a deep, hard return to you, you should be driving your third shot. The reason for that is, me, I'm a pro pickleball player, and if somebody hits a hard return to me, I'm not going to try to hit a perfect drop off of that shot. It's almost impossible. I'm going to drive the third shot, and then I'm going to drop the fifth. For the same reason, if somebody hits a shorter return to me, if it's lower, I'm going to drop it. A low short return, I'll drop every single time instead of trying to drive it, because the goal is to get to the kitchen anyway. So if you're going to get to the kitchen with a third shot drive and then a third shot drop, a fifth shot drop, or just a third shot drop if it's shorter, well, either way, you're getting to the kitchen because you're not going to be winning the point with the third shot. So if somebody's hitting a hard return, you are forcing them to drive the ball. So one interesting thing to note, what I've seen in the pro game lately is players are picking out which, let's say if I'm playing against somebody, and I know that they're particularly weak driving the ball from one side to the other, then I will be hitting my return to that side. So if I'm playing against my friend Marwan, for example, and I know that his backhand drive is better than his forehand drive, I would try to hit a hard, aggressive return to his forehand, because then I'm forcing him to drive a forehand, which is a shot that he doesn't like to hit as much as a backhand drive. So if I miss a return, if I miss one out of six returns or one out of seven returns, but I'm really ripping that return to his forehand every time, then I'm putting myself in a good spot and I'm making it a lot tougher for him to get into the kitchen. Because again, the most important part about pickleball is getting to the kitchen. So if you miss a serve or if you miss a return, it's not the biggest deal because both of those shots are necessary components as it relates to getting to the kitchen or preventing your opponent from getting to the kitchen. So that's the lens that you should view the serve and the return through. Getting to the kitchen shots, that's what they are. The return is, how hard are you going to make it for your opponent to get to the kitchen? And then the serve is how easy you're going to make it on yourself to get to the kitchen, because if you crush the serve, you can guarantee that you get a pretty weak return back, and then you're going to be able to get to the kitchen pretty easily on your third. So for me, just remembering that there's another thing you can do with the return of serve, which is if you're playing against a lefty-righty team or a team where the left side player isn't necessarily taking the middle as consistently as they should be, and that left side player is playing with a righty, so that middle area is kind of confusing, I like to hit hard returns to about, maybe a foot to the right of the center line. So a foot closer to the right sider than it is to the left sider. That can make it so that that area in the middle, if you think about it this way, if you hit it directly on the center line, the left side player is pretty comfortable taking it. Me being a left side player, if I see that it's right on the center line, I know that it's mine, because every left side player is taught that if it's in the middle, it's your forehand. But if you take it a foot to the right of that center line, that's where there's going to be a lot of middle confusion. And the deeper that your return is hit, the more that middle confusion is going to be pronounced. Because once the ball bounces, it slows down. If it hasn't bounced yet, it's going to bounce, let's say maybe a foot from the baseline. And those two players, it's going to be a lot of middle confusion. They're going to have to drive that ball. And if you can force the right side player to drive a backhand from their inside foot when they're on the right, That's a really tough drive to hit. Unless you love your backhand, like me, for example, then you can probably make it happen. But if you're somebody with a one-handed backhand drive, or you're just in a weird position there, if you're on the right side of the court trying to hit an inside-out backhand, that's one of the toughest shots to hit because backhands naturally go cross-court. Naturally, they will go cross-court because you turn your shoulders and hit it like this. So hitting it inside out is just not a natural shot for most people to hit. So another thing you can do is you can purposefully hit a short return to somebody's side that they don't like hitting drops from. Because if you can hit a short and low return, you're forcing somebody to drop the third. You can't really hit a great drive off of a short and low return because if you do that, you got to create a ton of shape, ton of space to try to keep the ball in and hit it hard. So that's why you also don't want to slice this ball. Because if you hit a short and low sliced return, then it's easier for them to drive it and keep it in because your slice is your opponent's top spin because of spin continuation. So if you hit a short and low slice return, that can put you in trouble, especially if the player you're playing against has a good drive on that side. But if you're hitting a low and short flat return to somebody who doesn't really like to hit a drop on that particular side, so let's say I'm playing against Marwan, for example, over across this table from me, and he's got no backhand drop, right? I just made that up. But let's say he's got no backhand drop. I'm going to go low and short with my return to his backhand side to force him to hit a drop there, especially somebody who only likes to hit a topspin roll drop. If I force him to roll that topspin drop, really good chance he's going to pop that one up. So if I were playing somebody like Marwan, I'd consider going hard aggressive to his forehand on the return or low and short to his backhand because he can't really drive that ball. He's going to miss a lot of those long, unless of course I've hit slice on it. So yeah, those would be the main two things with the return. And again, a very key thing is if you're playing against somebody that's got a huge serve and a huge drive, and I've said this many times before, you want to go high cross court with your return. So going high cross court with your return makes a lot of sense here because of the geometry of the court. There's an extra 5 or 6 feet of space going cross court than there is down the line, and the return has to bounce. So since the return has to bounce, you can keep the ball in the air for so long, you have all the time in the world to get up there to the kitchen so that by the time your opponent's hitting the drive, you're already established at the kitchen, especially if you're unwinding a stack. So if you're unwinding a stack, then there's more distance for you to cover going from baseline to kitchen. And for me, it's easy to unwind a stack because I'm a big person and I'm young, but not a lot of pickleball players are good at unwinding the stack. They don't love to do it because the court can get pretty big if you're going from one corner to the next. So going high cross court with your return can be a good strategy. Most people, when they're unwinding a stack, they like to return down the line. The reason they like to return down the line is because they keep it in front of their partner. Since they're keeping it in front of their partner, they feel like they're protected, but actually they're exposing themselves to that cross court third shot angle. So if you think about it this way, if you're unwinding a stack, so you're returning and you go right down the line and keep it in front of your partner, it's actually very easy for your opponent to go cross court with a short angle and then burn you on the other side because that ball will also be in the air for less time since you're going down the line and that person in front of you is set and ready to hit a cross court drop, which is easier to hit more aggressively in a down the line drop because of the geometry of the court. You've got more space there and you're going over the lowest part of the net. So it's actually better to go high cross court with your return to give yourself all the time in the world to get up to the kitchen, get established. And then if you do get attacked down the line, it's a shot that's coming down the line over the higher part of the net, as opposed to one that's tougher to deal with, which is cross court going over the lowest part of the net. Hey guys, James Ignatowicz here. Make sure to not get ghosted in the pickleball group chat. Get play more. We all know the feeling. You're down to play some pickleball. You send a message to your group chat. A couple people like the message. Are you sure you're going to play the game? You don't really know. Play more is a new pickleball app that does that frustrating part for you. I hate setting up games. I try to make sure somebody else does it every single time. But if I have the Play More app, it changes everything for me. So you're gonna be playing with players your level. No more 5-0 versus 3-0 matchups. It's gonna be all streamlined and super easy. So make sure to check out the Play More app. Try it out on the App Store or use the web version at getplaymore.com. So now we're gonna talk about the next shot after the return, which is the third shot, just in general, third shot drive, third shot drop. So, one thing that I've noticed when players are hitting forehand cross court drops these days, a lot of times they're going in this hello motion. So they're kind of going from here to here. And that's something that you see on a drive or something you see in tennis. So in tennis, when you hit a drive or a drop, you're going to do this. But actually in pickleball, you want it to kind of feel like a conveyor belt where your wrist is going upwards. And you're not using the wrist to flick it too much this way. You can get away with going like this, okay? But you don't want to be flicking it all the way across. If you feel your wrist break, that's when you know you're doing something wrong. So if you feel like your wrist is breaking this way, then you're in trouble. Really, you want to feel like your wrist is just going from here to here, and you're getting most of it from your arm. And then how do you go cross court with that? You just turn your shoulders directionally, and that's where you determine where the ball is going. So I guess one, quick and dirty way to describe that is if you want to direct a topspin forehand shot, soft shot, whether it's a dink or a drop, you want to use your shoulders to direct it as opposed to your wrist. But again, and I've said this many times, that does not apply to the drive. If you're hitting a drive, you can use your wrist all day. You use your wrist, you treat it like a tennis shot. There's no issue with that. I would say if you're coming from a tennis background, though, a lot of players from coming from tennis backgrounds will let their elbow come behind them too much. So that's an interesting thing because in tennis, you want to let your elbow come behind you a lot and try to hit this type of shot. But in pickleball, you actually kind of keep your elbow more close to your body than you think. I'm rarely letting my elbow get more than 6 inches from my body on any shot on the pickleball court. And if you see my serve, my elbow is more or less tucked into my body when I hit the when I make contact with the ball. Helps for consistency because you're almost never trying to hit the ball as hard as you can. And another thing about that too is, well, we'll actually just move past it. All right, so another thing with third shots that I think is very overlooked is a very hard cross-court drive. You can hit the drive cross-court as hard as you want. You have so much space going that way because of the geometry of the court. You have another 6 feet of space, and nobody leaves cross-court shots anyway. Nobody gets out of the way of shots that are going cross court. I've played pros. I mean, myself, I'm one of the best players in the game. And I still almost never get out of the way of shots that are being hit cross court because it's so tough to get out of the way of the ball. And you just don't think that way. You think you have enough time because it's coming from cross court and you just kind of lean into it and say, hey, whatever, I'm going to just hit this ball. So when I'm going cross court with my drives, you can swing out and hit them pretty hard. You can try, at least give that a shot. See how you feel with that shot. Let's see. Another thing about third shots is the third shot lob in mixed doubles. In the pro game, you're starting to see it a lot where players will hit a third shot lob over the female player as she's coming in. And this can actually, I mean, it's applying against female players in the pro game, but that means it could apply against almost anybody at the other levels. So this is something where you want to direct it at the person who's coming in off of their return to serve. As they're returning, they're moving forward, and you can lob it over their head because then they've got to change direction from forward to backward, and you can get them into a lot of trouble that way. Players with tennis backgrounds like Marwan will think that people with overheads or people that with tennis backgrounds always have great overheads. And that, they'll kind of generalize that statement and think, well, I don't want to lob at pickleball because there's so many players that have overheads that are just as good as mine. Well, interestingly enough, you look at the pro game, even the best pros in the game, if they didn't play tennis, their overheads are not great. Not too many non-tennis players that have super strong overheads, especially if they're hitting it from the transition zone. So just keep that in mind. There's definitely a big difference between players with tennis backgrounds and players without. As it relates to their ability to strike overheads. Okay, another thing on third shot drops is the bunt. We have to talk about the bunt because everybody's hitting the bunt. The bunt is a third shot drop that actually, let me give you a visual representation on the bunt. All right, here's the bunt. Paddle face tip down right to the ground, and then you just push it forward. That's the whole point of the bunt. You might be turning your shoulders a little bit, and you step forward with your dominant leg. So if you're a righty, your right foot should be in front of your left foot. And this is for third shots. You might see Colin Johns hit this. It's not a slice, it's not a chop. It is just a push forward. You're imparting no spin on the ball, at least on purpose. Any spin you get is by accident. And you step forward with your dominant leg. That's been a huge thing for me on third shots, even third shot drops with topspin lately, is stepping forward. My front foot is my dominant foot, so I'm not crossing my feet over. It's not like a drive. You would never hit a drive if you're a righty with your right foot in front. Would you? Would you ever hit a forehand drive if you're a righty with your right foot in front? No, that's crazy. But a drop, you actually want to have your right foot in front because it prevents you from over rotating. It keeps things simple and it keeps your timing just kind of automatic. Right foot in front, forehand. So that's about it. Thank you guys for watching.